On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
With kickoff rapidly approaching, now is the perfect time to start preparing for the fantasy football season. If you want to dominate your draft, check out the Roto-World Draft Guide for everything you'll need to get a leg up on the competition. It includes more than 500 player profiles, Evan Silva sleepers and busts, mock draft analysis for six different types of leagues, positional rankings from five of our experts, customizable projections, and much, much more. So head on over to rotoworld.com/draft guide. That's rotoworld.com/draft guide to take your first step towards fantasy football glory.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk. Here is your host, J.P. Finley.
What's up, guys? Redskins Talk is here. J.P. Finley is here. Rich Tandler will be here as soon as he finishes eating his granola bar, so you're just going to have to wait for him. I discussed, hey, Tandler, I don't think eating a granola bar to start a podcast is the best move, and he said it's fine. So that's where we are.
I don't know if watching a golf tournament while you're doing a podcast is a great idea.
No one can hear you because you have a granola bar in your mouth. All right, before we get going and talk about, we are closing down camp today, which is, I can't believe camp's over already, honestly. I mean, we've had one preseason game in the bag. It was a bad game. We've talked about that. We're going to kind of give the generalities from camp. Before we do that, Preston Smith is back out on the practice field in a kind of reduced role. He only did individuals. He did the walkthrough today. I caught up with Preston, asked him about the ankle, asked him about what happens now that Trent Murphy's done for the year. Good little interview. Listen to Preston, and then we'll be back. Hopefully, Tandler will be done with his granola bar by then. Here with Preston Smith. Preston, let's start with your health. How's the ankle feeling?
It's coming along. I'm almost back, you know, in full form.
And so you did individual drills yesterday, and you did walkthrough today.
Yeah, my ankle's feeling a lot better. I'm getting a lot more flexibility back in it. I feel like I'm getting close to being back at 100%. And, you know, just a day-to-day thing, you know, to see how, you know, get the swelling down and make sure I'm getting all my flexibility back before I get back out there on the field.
Do you want to go Saturday against the Packers, or are you thinking further down the road?
You know, I want to go. Of course, I want to get out there and compete and play with my teammates. You know, it hurts to sit on the sideline and watch the guys get out there. You know, you've been working this long in the offseason to play with these guys and then, you know, get out there and show what you got and to play with them and to try and put good stuff on film and show that we can work towards this season coming up.
Big blow to the outside linebacker group with Trent Murphy getting hurt in that Ravens game. What'd you say to him?
I texted him right after I seen it happen because I was watching the game. And I had texted him and asked him, was he okay? And then he was like, you know, he told me he's good and he was going to see the next day for the MRI or whatever. And to find out that news, you know, is kind of saddening because, you know, Trent's a good guy. He works hard. And we need him, to, you know, to help us have a great year on defense this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a guy that had 9 sacks for you last year. So this year, Trent is gone, and it's you and Junior and Ryan, and now Lyndon Trail's a lot more valuable, it looks. What do you think of the depth at outside linebacker?
We got both Ryans. We got me and, you know, and Junior and Lyndon and, you know, other guys. Pete Robinson, he's in our room now, and Chris Carter. Guys just working hard. Guys playing hard. You know, we put a lot of good stuff on tape. And, you know, we're going to see, you know, how things play out, you know, when the season, you know, roster cuts down. We see who's actually out there to play this year. But guys, you know, are trustworthy. Guys know their assignment. Guys are, you know, confident in their ability, and they're going out there and press hard every day to show what they got.
Preston, thanks for talking with us. Good luck with that ankle.
No problem.
All right, we are back. Good interview with Preston. And those guys have the right attitude with Trent Murphy being gone. it's crazy, Rich. Now that you're finished your granola bar, I think we can all talk. They are going to be very reliant now at the OLB spot on a guy that hasn't played in 2 years in Junior Gallette,
right,
and a rookie in Ryan Anderson.
You know, that's the NFL. That was going to be the case in the first four games anyway. And
right. I mean, that is going to be the case. And there still is the durable Ryan Kerrigan on the other side.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess the idea of being able to bring in these waves of fresh pass rushers took a little bit of a ding. So.
It did. And you know, we talked about this on the podcast, I think. I wrote about this in my notes. Trent Murphy was looking really good, too. He was having a strong camp.
Yeah, he was. Of course, he was playing a lot against the third-team offense, but still.
Yeah, but he was getting some reps against Morgan Moses and stuff.
Yeah, he was. You know, that was because, I think in large part, he was going to be out those first four games.
Right.
They wanted to give the first-team reps to the guys who were going to be here.
Totally. Not that that was the spot he
belonged. Right.
All right, let's go. All right, let's zoom out. We've been in Richmond for what feels like not quite an eternity, but a while. How long have we been down here? 3 weeks?
Two and a half weeks.
All right. So what is your biggest takeaway from Richmond, and what was it before they played the Ravens? Because mine are a little different.
Well, I think from Camper, I think the wide receivers, assuming that Josh Doctson gets back, you know, healthy in the next couple of weeks or before the start of the season. And with Terrell Pryor, I don't think there's going to be a huge drop-off at wide receiver. Throwing a little out of production from Jamison Crowder, and I don't think the absence of DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon is going to be the disaster that many thought it might be.
Assuming you get Doctson on the field healthy, and Pryor and Kirk figure one another out.
Right. And they are doing well on assumptions. I don't think the second one is. I think they're starting to get it together. I think Kirk is starting to figure out how to use Pryor's length, his reach, to
He missed him on one attempt in Baltimore.
Tiniest possible sample size.
I agree.
They will not connect on 100%. They don't have to.
I agree.
Neither did Cousins and Jackson.
I think the receiving core is already way more versatile. And I think they'll be better in the red zone, obviously. So here's what I was going to say. I think going into that Ravens game, I thought the Skins, and I still think the Skins, have a chance to compete for a wild card spot. And maybe a division. I think the Cowboys are going to take a real step back, especially if Zeke's out six games like the current setup calls for. I don't know enough about the domestic violence appellate procedure to know if he's going to be able to get that knocked back or what. But I had the Cowboys falling back anyway. Now I definitely do. I think the Skins could compete for an NFC East title. But the one thing I think we've seen is that this team, I think Thursday night was good for them in Baltimore to just get shown up and be out-physicaled. I talked to a couple offensive linemen leaving the practice field today, and they were like, we weren't ready for them, and we've got to be ready for them. Now, some of that was, you know, when the starting offensive line was out there, the Ravens blitzed on 50% of their plays, and the Skins aren't game planning for that. They're just trying to work their run game. And it looks, the result looks worse than what it probably would be in actuality if they were prepared or looking to change calls of the line, any of that. But I do think the way they went sluggish through the preseason last year, started the season so bad, and then I think we've already seen the difference that Jay Gruden told you, yes, Kirk Cousins is going to play week two of the preseason.
Yeah.
I think that is like a good wake-up call.
He had even, well, at least he pretended like he'd forgotten that he held him out week two.
Yeah, tell everybody that exchange.
Yeah, I just said, is keeping, last year you kept Kirk Cousins out of the week two preseason game. And he goes, did I do that? You know, he's kind of looking up, like, you know, trying to think back in his memory. And I said, is keeping him out this week under consideration? He said, no.
All right, I need to bring in Mitch real quick. Tischler, I got a question. How many Redskins players and or coaches has Taylor pissed off this couple weeks in training camp? Because I don't think Gruden loved that question.
Are we using...
And certainly Breland's on the list.
You didn't even see his reaction. How do you know he didn't love it?
I don't think he loved it. Did he love it?
Oh, am I here to be loved? I forgot.
Taylor goes hard.
Forgot.
You are here to be loved.
Okay. You're Swaggy T, dude.
Okay. Do I have to,
do you have to respond to that?
I ask questions. I write them.
I think that was a very fair question.
It was.
And I think Jay kind of alluded to something. Mitch, did you ever give us a number, by the way?
There was laughter, by the way.
There was laughter. That's...
Okay.
If we included media members, it wouldn't fit on hands and toes. Fingers and toes.
You'd need an abacus to calculate the amount of media members.
Yes.
Who's made more media members mad? Tandler or Pete?
Pete's way up there. By the way, no doubt in my mind that Tandler knows how to use an abacus. Correct?
That's how he did algebra.
Right.
Were you an
Wait, did they
slide rule or abacus, Tandler? Slide rule or abacus?
By the way.
Oh, he's just not talking now. Yeah. Let's get him another granola bar.
A Texas Instruments calculator that costs like $350.
What? Nerd alert.
And now he just has it all on his wrist.
No. All right.
Exactly.
Let's keep it moving.
We're losing.
Secondary, I think, is much better. Last year, leaving camp, I thought Bashaud Breland was poised to have an all-pro type season. Because of that, I want to walk back my expectations with the secondary a little bit, just because it's easy to kind of get in this camp bubble where things look good and you really expect a lot because you see these guys every day. Where are you on the secondary this year? I still think it's going to be the strength of the defense. I think Josh Norman is poised for a huge year. I think DJ Swearinger stabilizes the back there. And I'm
kind of dubious about the other two guys, though.
About Bree and Sua?
Yeah, Sua's making that move. You know, he's going to miss some practice time. Don't know how much. It doesn't sound, day-to-day doesn't sound too bad. But he's certainly going to miss, my guess would be this week in the Packers game, which you can't really...
I think it's more than that, right?
No, he said day-to-day. That's what Gruden said.
When do you think we see Doxson back?
Same, probably. He was the one guy, though. Gruden went over a lot of health issues yesterday, and Doxson was one guy who was not. He did not discuss. So I would like to get that.
Yeah, maybe that's a good question.
Today. Hopefully, he's amenable to answering the question and doesn't get mad at me or anything.
People get mad at you, Tandler. I don't know what it is, man. It's that casual confidence you're always walking around with. All right, so. Strengths of the team going into the season. I think we still would both say the pass game.
Yeah, I mean the defense will need to be better. They'll run the ball maybe a little bit more, but this team's success or failure will ride on the passing game.
Will they run the ball a little bit better?
They didn't run it poorly last year.
They ran it poorly in Baltimore.
Not enough. Okay, well that's.
I agree, but the whole. Every back on the roster ran poorly. I do think they can run the ball okay. I think they need to run the ball more. We've talked about that at length. Yes. What has been your favorite scene from training camp? Let's keep it to the field. I know about your exploits at night, but let's keep it to the practice field, Taylor. Not when you're singing at bars, doing karaoke, any of that. Let's just keep it to the field. I'll give mine because I'm putting you on the spot. I still think the coolest scene was when that guy was yelling at Cousins, Mr. 24 million, Mr. 24 million, throw it downfield. And in that guy's defense, Cousins had just been checking down to running backs in 7-on-7 for like 5 straight throws. And it was like to the point where we were all kind of like.
Yeah, you had commented that to me just a couple plays before.
Right, like, oh, man, all this stuff's going underneath. Not that it's wrong. I mean, maybe that's what he was working on. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that gets lost. You have no idea if the QB's coach is saying, all right, let's work the flats today, whatever it may be. But this guy is yelling. Finally, Pryor just goes deep. Cousins hits him in stride. Touchdown, big gainer. Cousins runs over and gives this guy 5. And it was just like that little moment of fire you see from Kirk every once in a while. To me, that was the high point of camp.
I've liked, and this is more a lot of smaller moments, but DJ Swearinger just coming up with some pretty funny stuff, comments here and there off the cuff. I mean, like yesterday, they're watching. McCoy throws a pass away. A guy in the first row of the fans drops it. And Sprint goes, "Hey, man, you got to catch that ball," yelling over there. So
the best line, and we're not going to let him talk, but Pete overheard this, and I have no idea what it means, but Breland at some point after good plays was yelling, "Put some syrup on your pancakes." I like that one a lot. Mitch, we're bringing you back. What was your favorite moment of camp on the field, not Tandler's late-night exploits?
Tandler's late-night exploits were pretty awesome. For me, it was, and maybe this doesn't count as on the field, but having Dale Earnhardt Jr. out here.
That was fun.
Running routes on Norman. It was pretty cool. It was a fun moment.
I enjoyed the racetrack more, just because I'd never been to a racetrack, or certainly never down on the, I don't know where we were, the infield. We were in Pitt Road, right?
Pitt Road.
I mean, and I didn't know how loud those things are. I didn't know how fast they go. I mean, I need to go to a race, dude. I'm all in on going to a race. It seems like it'll be something very fun. Hold on, Greg.
Over Monster Mile, that's the spot to go.
All right, we have an unsung hero that we want to get out here real quick. Greg Abernathy is one of our photogs that's been with us the whole damn time we've been down here in Richmond. Abs keeps the tent nice and cool. He makes the lights really bright in our eyes. Abs, what was your favorite moment from camp, man? On the field.
He also makes them look good on camera.
We need all the help.
That's a tough job.
Quick. That's why you're behind the camera, Greg. You have nothing to say. All right, not only do you have nothing to say, but nobody can hear you. All right.
He's talking about the DB drills, one-on-one, wide receiver DBs. That was pretty fun watching Doxon go up against Norman in the corner of the end.
Yeah, for sure. Well done, Abs. We appreciate all your hard work.
And thank you for the translation, Mitch.
Well, and Abs is the one that...
I talk photogies well.
Well, and Abs also keeps the tent stocked with snacks, which is a very important job. And I believe he brought the Krispy Kremes to close out camp today, which I tell you what, man, a fresh Krispy Kreme, nothing beats it. It's so light and fluffy.
That was all my idea.
Well done, Greg. I had two of those, by the way,
which your idea, huh?
Makes me very fat, but we'll move on. All right, this is your chance, Pete. Just stick to the question and tell us what was your favorite part of camp on the field.
I always get a kick out of Jay Gruden, just being chummy with the guys, intercepting passes off the jugs machine, yelling at fans, joking with players. I just, big Jay Gruden guy over here, all about him. I hope he stays in D.C. for another 10 years. Him and Tandler were my two standouts from camp.
You were doing so well until you made it about you.
Got to take a shot at Tandler.
All right.
A shot? You just complimented.
Yeah, God,
geez. That's the opposite of shot. So
all right, stop. You're done. Sarcasm. You're done. All right, Tandler, let's take this out. Packers game, let's talk through the schedule for the next week. So training camp is over. Monday morning, they do like a 10-minute walkthrough, and then the players sign autographs for all the volunteers that have been working in Richmond for the past 2-3 weeks. And those folks deserve it. They work out here in the hot Richmond sun. They deal with all the same weather we do. I believe they don't get paid. I don't know the financial situation.
That's volunteers.
That is what volunteer means. Thank you for the clarification, gentlemen. So they deserve their moment, their time.
Get some autographs.
And pictures, whatever they want to get.
Pictures, selfies, whatever they got.
From there, teams going back to Ashburn.
Yep.
I imagine Tuesday is a day off, or at least we're not there.
We're not there.
Wednesday, Thursday should be pretty legit practices, I would think. And I'm talking pads on, going for it.
Yep.
Friday, we're not there. They're probably doing a walkthrough.
No walkthrough.
Saturday night is the Packers game?
Saturday, 7:30.
FedEx.
FedEx Field.
How much?
Coverage starts at 6:30 on CSN.
Boom. That's a good plug, Mitch. Oh,
very well done.
How much do we expect to see Aaron Rodgers?
Little, if at all.
Last year, I don't think he played at all.
He attempted 9 passes in the third preseason game. That was it.
So here's something. I talked to a person. I'm not going to go further than that. But somebody told me the starters are going to play the whole first half Saturday night. And I'm not against it.
I would be dubious of that person.
Huh? Maybe.
That would be...
I think they get at least the whole first quarter.
Yes, I would not be surprised with that. I think if they do, though, I think they would pull them back in game 3.
I think it might be shifting time.
I think you can make
time.
An argument that you go game two, because then if anybody gets nicked up, that's 3 full weeks before week one. Versus game three, if that's your game where you really play guys, you're only 2 weeks out.
Between two and three, there's really no logic as to why that
between
is done that way.
Between two and three, the starters need to play 3 quarters of football. What do you think about that?
Yes.
You still working through that granola bar, dude?
No, I'm just having a sip of water, man.
All right. So I want
I'm not in control here. You throw it back to me. I'm taking a sip of water.
We're going to close the podcast. It has been a lot of fun being down here in Richmond, doing these every day. It's not going to be every day once we get back to Ashburn, but it'll
be very frequent.
Very frequent. We will figure that schedule out when we get back and get some sleep. Lastly, this is our last day in this tent, and it's been fun. I hope you guys enjoyed the coverage. I hope you watched all our videos. Our social team did a ton of stuff. Instagram,
social.
Snapchat. Yep. Pete did a hell of a job on the Instagram stories. I'll give him credit. Meredith did a great job on the Snapchat stuff. Harrison, Criswell, Dan, and Farrell, all those guys did good work with those videos. Jason Murphy, who we brought on the podcast, so he already got his plug.
That's right.
Mike D, the world's craziest dude, did some good work for us down here. It's been a good couple weeks in Richmond, man.
Chick.
Mr. Chick, of course. Who's, but he's
needs mentioned.
Mr.
Right?
Chick's been on,
he needs
all of his interviews
us.
Have been on here. So Mr. Chick's been well... I don't know.
B-Mitch
was on.
Maddich.
Trevor Maddich. We've had a lot of fun. So there's plenty more to come. This is our swan song from Richmond. Taylor, take us out.
Hey, thanks for tuning in, or what are we downloading, or whatever you want to say.
Listening is what you're going for.
And we'll catch you all up north.
Dude. All right, see you guys. Thank you,
Pete.
Also, hey, big shout out to the people of Richmond. Thanks to the fine folks for taking care of us for 3 weeks while we're down here.
Charles Honey, Mount Rushmore of good guys.
Mount Rushmore of good guys.
Baja Bean, one of the cooler bars in Richmond. You're done.
Asado.
Asado, for sure.
Mama J's.
Made our way across Mama J's, a bunch of different restaurants, met a bunch of cool people. You guys were all great.
Yeah, we love Richmond. The guys at the Vale, we love the Vale. They hook it up big time. We love the beer. What was the other brewery, late night place we went to? Come on,
the answer was cool.
Home Team Grill was fun that night. That crazy dude was dancing?
Yeah. Starlight also.
TGI Fridays.
TGI.
Gelati Celesti. Celesti. Tandler loves it.
Gelati Celesti.
Waffle ice cream cone there.
Damn.
All right.
That
Boulevard
is good.
Was good.
Boulevard Burgers is good. Fat Dragon Chinese food is good.
I think we shout out. Oh, Buzz and Ned's. Can't forget
Buzz and
Ned's.
Buzz and Ned's,
of course.
The Westin.
Yo, Joe's in, dude.
Joe's in
is my spot. I love Joe's.
Lunch Supper, O'Charlie's. All right, we're shouting out
Pasture.
The local restaurants.
All right, we're done here, folks.
When you get to O'Charlie's, you're
Thank you. Thank you for listening. It's been a lot of fun. Plenty more podcasts to come, but Richmond is a wrap. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Out.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.